Praise God. So, 1 Samuel 17, I'm just going to read a few verses. Verse 4, and the champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And verse 8, then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And verse 16, and the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Morning and evening. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you for your word, and we thank you for this time, and we pray that you'll breathe upon us now, Lord. And we thank you, Lord God, for your presence here. And truly, we just sang it, Lord, there's nobody greater. And we're going to see this in the story, Father. And we thank you that what you were able to do so many years ago in the life of David, you are still working in the lives of others, and you are able to work in our lives today. So we give you praise, Father, and we give you all the glory for what you are doing even now in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody say, amen. 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 Before I get really into this story, I want to talk to you about this over 2 weeks, as I said. And the first thing I really want to do is I want to share with you something very important about your problems, because everybody has problems, everybody has situations that they need to go through. And the issue is not the problem itself, it's your approach to the problem. It's your attitude towards a problem. It's how you look, your perspective on that problem. So I just want to talk to you and share with you just a few things, really. First of all, about the sources of problems, because we need to understand that problems come from different sources. Number one is Satan. Okay, but we all know that. That needs no explanation. But then sometimes we have problems because the flesh, ourselves, can get in the way. Are you with me? And sometimes it's other people. Problems come because of other people and what they do, what they say, what they don't do, what they perhaps don't say. Or it can come because of different things as well. Now, Mark chapter 4, verses 14 and 17 is a parable of the sower. And the parable of the sower, in it, the Bible says that Satan comes when? When the word is sown, Satan comes immediately to steal away that word that is sown. So we see that Satan busy at work, and he's busy at work today, and I'm telling you that the word of God, he wants to steal away from our lives. And whether or not he's successful, we depend upon us, really. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, what credit is it when you are beaten for your own faults, and you take it patiently? There's nothing to be gained, in other words, then, if you are at fault, and that's talking about self. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 14 and 15 says, blessed are you if you are reproached for the name of Christ. And then verse 15 says, hey, man, don't be a busybody, you know, going into people's business and looking into people's business. And of course, if you do that, then, you know, you're the problem. Problem may come because you're a busybody, putting your nose and your mouth, if you like, and your eyes where it doesn't belong, in other people's business. Luke 10 and verse 19, the Lord says, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So that verse, Jesus was speaking, and he was telling them basically that you have power. Can you say with me, I have power? Can you say it again? I have power. And that's the truth. It's not me saying it, it's God's word that's saying it. You've got authority, and you've also got the dynamic working power of the Lord at work in your life. Joshua 1 and verse 7, be strong, it says, and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in the law. Observe to do all that is written in the law. Not just some of God's word, not just part of God's word, but be strong and take courage with you so that you can observe to do everything that God has told you to do, which is written in his word. And 1 Corinthians 10, verses 4 to 6, we should know some of the scriptures already. It talks about, you know, pulling down those things that exalt itself. This is in your mindset now. That exalt itself against the knowledge of God. So you've got the word of God in you, yes? And then stuff sometimes will happen. And if we're not careful, if David wasn't careful, he would be looking at Goliath and all the world would just be nullified. But he had to be careful to observe, to do everything that God's word, you know, that God told him that he can do. And David knew who he was. And we see that in light of scripture. And he loved God so much. Again, we see all these things. And God was with him. Just like he's been with many people, and just like he's with us today. God is with you, but there are things that we've got to do. We've got to use the authority that we've just said we have in Luke 10, 19, to pull down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So when God's word says you are victorious and that you can, and it doesn't look like you're victorious, it doesn't look like you can, you've got to pull down those things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God's word. Are you with me, church? Are you with me? So, in other words, and sometimes it is not how it looks, it's how you behave in the moment and in the situation, how it looks. Because if you should always look at circumstances and then behave according to circumstances, most of us wouldn't get anything done. Most of us would quit. Am I right? We would quit, we would give up. We wouldn't continue trying. But God does not want you to do that. And that's why he declares that you are more than a conqueror. Amen. He declares that, church, you are victorious. Amen. And you've got to know that you are victorious, that you are more than a conqueror. All right, fine. So let me give you some truths about problems. Because there is this thing sometimes in certain people's mind where, well, I'm a Christian, so now that I've become a Christian, I won't have any problems. That's not true. Satan, as we just saw, is always against you, always coming at you, and you're going to have problems. But praise God, you've got God on your side. Amen. And because you have God on your side, guess what? You have a massive advantage. Amen. A massive advantage. All right, so number one, first truth about problems. Problems must come. They must come. If you're a Christian, you're going to have problems. If you're not a Christian, you're going to have problems. They must come. So when problems come, you should not be surprised. Because they must come. How do I know that? Well, Jesus himself said that. In John 16 and verse 33, he said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you will have peace. In the world you will have a tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So even in the midst of problems, Jesus is saying you still can be of good cheer. Your heart can be of good mirth. You can be merry. Hey, church, you can be happy. Right? He spoke these things so that we can have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. In a situation where you should be panicking, no, you're not panicking anymore. You have the peace of God, and you're able to rest in that peace. That's the type of peace that Jesus gives. Now, number two. God has made a way of escape. Isn't that good news? No matter what you are going through, no matter how big, how difficult it may seem, God has made a way of escape. Well, Pastor David, how do you know that? Well, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 13, it says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." And this is why Paul said, "Stand, and having done all, stand." So no matter how difficult it may look, no matter how big the situation may seem, your God has made a way so that that thing that you're facing will not overcome you, but you will overcome it. Can I get a loud amen? Amen. God has made a way of escape. Number three, our first response in every single situation should be this. it should be to seek the Lord. We should run to seek God's face. Our first response should be prayer. It should be, Lord, what do you want me to do now? I'm not talking about prayer, you clasp your hands, you get down on your knees, because you might not even be able to do that. You're in the midst of a situation there on the street. You don't have to go down on your knees. You say, Lord, because you're practicing the presence of Christ and God is with you. You say, Lord, well, what do I do in this situation? Yeah. Sometimes, Lord, okay, fine. There's a problem here, Lord God. Which way should I drive? Which way should I go? Even at work, Lord God, this decision that I have to make, Father, Lord God, I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. And you know, God is there. I love it. I mean, I'm reading about wisdom of God. And I hear the Holy Spirit speaking and saying that he's given wisdom. And with wisdom, listen, this is good news. With the wisdom of God comes other things. And I'm not going to go into that now, but you know, with the wisdom of God comes riches, comes blessing upon blessing. And this is the word of God that tells us that. And so this is why, you know, don't just seek his hand, seek his face. Yeah. Then when you find him, guess what? You get all of him and everything that he has. Isn't God good, church? But we're going to believe for that. We're going to believe for that. So our first response in any given situation, okay, should be to seek the Lord. Number four, when you can't change your problem, change your perspective. What am I saying? When I said you can't change your problem, maybe it's the way you're looking at the problem. Change your perspective. Look at it differently. David didn't see Goliath as too big to hit. He saw him as too big to miss. So it's a way sometimes that we look at things, and maybe our perspective is wrong because the way we're looking at things is wrong. You're looking at this boss at work and you're saying, oh my gosh, look at all the problems, and this guy doesn't like me, and blah, blah, blah. No. And what you maybe ought to be doing is saying, you know what? Everything may seem like it's coming against me, but I'm going to use these little adversities. I'm going to use these little things to walk and to ride higher. These are stepping stones towards my progress in life. Are you hearing me, church? I'm going to use these circumstances to advance the kingdom of God, to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to use these things. Everything that comes against me, I'm going to use it to go even further for God. And you know what? God is looking for such a man. He's looking for such a woman, for such a boy and a girl. That's who he's looking for. He's looking for these kind of folks to really come and to put their trust in him and to say, Lord, no matter what's going on, I put my trust in you. I will depend upon you, Lord, because you are my God. Sometimes we have to change our perspective. We have to change the way that we look at things, because maybe the way that I've been looking at things is all wrong. And instead of seeing the thing as the big problem, though it presented itself to be, you know, I've got to realize that God is with me. Number five. Problems can cause spiritual blindness. Now, the problem is this. When you have a challenge, when you have a Goliath in your life, and your perspective is wrong, or your attitude or your mindset is wrong, you're going to view the whole thing wrong. And if you're not careful, you're going to even attack the thing wrong. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not... No, because it's a spiritual fight, you see. But they are spiritual in God for pulling down strongholds and for bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. 1 Corinthians 10, 4-6 that I flashed up earlier. So problems can cause now spiritual blindness because I don't see the thing the way God sees it. I'm not looking at it the way that God looks at it. I'm looking at it maybe through the eyes of my flesh. Now, because I'm looking at it in the eyes of the flesh, the thing becomes more real, becomes more scary, becomes more big. It could be a big bill. It could be a problem, some child. It could be a marriage that's going wrong. It could be a job. It could be your boss at work. It could be neighbors. Now, if you look at the thing through a wrong perspective, through the wrong lens, then you are going to have what we now call spiritual blindness. Let me give you some facts on these. Okay? Spiritual problems can cause spiritual blindness in your current circumstances. So each of us are different, and each of us might be going through different things, but we've got to have the right perspective. Can I get an amen? We've got to see things right, and we've got to say, all right. In the natural, in the flesh, I can't handle this right now. But Lord, I'm believing you, Father, for the answer. I'm believing you for strength. I'm believing you for your leading, Lord. I don't know how you're going to do it, Father. I can't even see a way out of how you're going to do this. But Lord, I know you're going to do it.
Amen.
Now, that's your faith kicking in, you see. That's you now putting your trust in the Lord. Now you've spoken it. Now you've got to get up and now you've got to do it. And you can't let your current circumstances, and because you don't see a way, how am I going to get around this? How am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to... You can't let that prevent you from believing that God will make a way out of no way. We've just read it a while ago that no matter how big it is, all right, your God is bigger.
Amen.
I mean, let's pause for a few moments. What Goliaths have you got in your life? And I believe we all have them. What Goliaths have you got in your life? This Goliath taunted the whole camp of Israel, the Bible says, and we just read it, for 40 days and 40 nights. 40 days and 40 nights he stood up in the camp and said, I defy the armies of Israel. I dare you to come against me. I dare you to try to solve me, to get rid of me in your life. And our response, the whole camp, including the king, the Bible says that when Goliath moved forward, they went back. Why? Fear. They were fearful. But here comes this little smooth-skinned boy, this little shepherd, the youngest of Jesse's son, the little Mr. Nobody, even his three brothers that were part of Saul's army, when they saw and heard David speaking, began to put him down. Listen to me carefully, church. It doesn't matter what your qualifications are, how simple you may look, there's more to you than meets the eye. Can I get an amen? There's more to you than meets the eye. People may look at you and disdain you. People may look at you and say, oh, that's only so-and-so. They may look at you and they may think that you're small, you're insignificant. I want to tell you something, and this is a truth. In God's eyes, you are very significant.
Amen.
You are important to God's eyes, and you can do more. There's stuff that's laid up for you, God, church. There's stuff that God has in store for you, but he's looking for a man, he's looking for a woman, a boy, a girl, that will dare to trust him in the midst of your Goliaths coming against you. That's what he's looking for. I take that aim. Previous experiences, I'm not going to elaborate too much on this now. Past events, these things can cause spiritual blindness. Well, you know, I did try that before and it didn't work. And so your previous experience now has caused you to prevent now God from working for you in this moment, in this time. Because you tried it before and it didn't work. Well, I prayed before. Well, I read God's word before. Well, I attended the prayer meeting for one whole month without stopping. And it didn't work then. So now you're what you do? You're throwing away the word of God because it didn't happen. It may have been the wrong time. It may have been the wrong, maybe your approach was wrong back then. And maybe you've learned more now to depend upon God and to trust God. Past events, things that have happened in the past, maybe not to you, but maybe to a wider spectrum. And you say, well, no, because I remember this has happened in the past. And so we limit God because of what we saw happen to others in the past. Limitations placed on you by other people. And I've often said, be careful when you allow people to define you, you have given them authority to control you. Don't let anybody define you, church. You know who you are. You're children of the living God, and you're very significant to God. I said this before. I don't care. I'll say it again. You are significant to God. Do me a favor. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God is depending upon you. Now listen, your neighbor just spoke a truth. Your neighbor just spoke a truth. God is depending upon you. So no matter what you have, remember we looked at Moses and we looked at the five excuses of Moses in the past 2 weeks. We looked at those things, and Moses had in his hand, and so did Aaron, a staff that looked so insignificant. And the thing that looked so insignificant, God seemed insignificant, God said, I can use it. I can turn or use that insignificance in your hand and make it very significant, very meaningful. I don't know what gifts, what talents you have in your hand, but God is saying, I can use it. I don't know what things you have in your hand, but God is saying, hey, I can use it for the glory of God and the traditions of men. I believe it's Mark 7 that talks about the traditions of men. You know, tradition is something that you do time and time and time and time again. Why do you do it? Well, this is because this is what we do. We've done it because we've done it before. And it's the way we've always done things. The traditions of God make the word of non-effect. So we just got to be careful that we're not making our traditions of non-effect in our lives. So that's me talking about some truths to our problems and what problems are sources of problems. Let's get on to looking at these steps now. 10 different steps. How do I get from the problem to the promise? From the problem to the solution. Well, number one, you've got to identify the problem. Say this with me. Identify the problem. That's the first thing. You've got to identify the problem. In 1 Samuel 17 and verse 24, the Bible says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. You've got to identify the problem. And the problem sometimes may be deeper than we think. Because I'm going to give, even though I'm sort of coming from this root, and if a verse I just read, the problem would sound like it was Goliath. But when you look a little deeper, the problem really wasn't Goliath. Goliath was there, and Goliath was coming against Israel. Goliath wanted to conquer Israel, right, on behalf of the Philistines. Goliath wanted to do everything he could. He wanted to kill their representative. But the problem really sometimes goes deeper than what we see. And for me, I'll just stop there. I'll mention it, then I'll stop and go on. The problem really was, again, it's a big thing. It's fear, the spirit of fear. And that's where the problem really was, deep down underneath. I mean, this problem had been presenting itself to Israel for 40 days and 40 nights. The whole army was fearful. The Bible tells us that. 40 days and 40 nights. He's taunting. He's intimidating. He's challenging. And saying, here I am. I'm not going anywhere. Anybody got Goliaths in their lives that seem like they don't want to go away, whether it be sickness or lack or whatever it is? It seemed like it's not going to go away. Well, I'm telling you, there's coming a day when that giant will fall in Jesus' name. But you've got to believe it. You've got to believe it in your life. Whatever Goliath you are facing, you've got to recognize that Goliath. But more than that, you've got to recognize that you serve a God who's bigger than that Goliath. And God is able. Are you understanding, church? I know this is a familiar story. I know I've preached on this several times. But this is really what I felt the Holy Spirit wanted me to bring across this week and next week. And next week, as I said before, I want to bring across some other things, some other little significant things that the Lord, the Holy Spirit has showed me. But you've got to identify the problem. The problem is not your neighbor. It's the spirit behind that. The problem is not your boss that's always at you. It's the spirit that's behind that. The problem isn't that. I was driving the van at one point. Joy was with me. And, you know, as you know, the church van is labeled. And, you know, I was just at a particular place. And this woman just kind of stepped across the vehicle and she brushed herself against it, looked at me, and when she looked at me, she gave me a big cut eye. And it's like she slowed down her walked. The vehicle wasn't moving at the time. I was kind of still waiting to go. And she sort of stepped across the van with a defiant look, you know. And I immediately said to Joy, did you see that? And immediately we picked up. It's a spirit. It's not the woman. The problem was not the woman, but the problem was what? The spirit that was behind the woman. And by the way, that's happened more than once. It's happened more than once. But you can't retaliate now in the flesh, and this way some of us sometimes go wrong. You've got to recognize it for what it is and then apply the spiritual solutions, church. Your warfare, I repeat myself deliberately, it's not carnal, but it's spiritual. But the weapons God has given you is mighty. Come on, say, I've got mighty weapons. Say it a bit louder. I've got mighty weapons. You have. You have. God has given them to you. And so no matter how it looks, you can overcome them in Jesus' name. You can use them and overcome whatever giant, whatever Goliath is facing you in Jesus' name. Identify the problem. All right. I hope I haven't jumped ahead of myself. Make a quality decision. Now that you've identified the problem, you're going to have to say, well, okay, what am I going to do about this? Am I going to do it my way? Am I going to let what I see come into my spirit and get me into depression? Am I going to let what I see intimidate me so that I feel small and insignificant? Am I going to let what I see come into me and make me like a baby? Just cry and just sort of behave and become fearful? Because that's what the enemy wants to do. If he can intimidate, if he can instill fear inside of you, how many people know your faith is already cramped? Your faith won't work. It won't work. And that's what the enemy tends to do, or he wants to do. He wants to intimidate. He wants to come in to stop you making that quality decision. That's why we saw in that passage, Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower, when the word is sown, the seed is the word. And when it's sown, the devil comes immediately to take away that word. Why? Because he knows that if you have the word, you have victory. If you know that God is on your side, if you know who you are, then he's already lost, and he knows that. So he comes to steal away that word, to take it away, to make you feel insignificant. You're going to make a quality decision. Am I going to fight my way? Am I going to fight the traditional way? Am I going to do it my way? Am I going to say it my way? Or am I going to go God's way? Am I going to do it God's way? And God wants you to do it his way. Because that's the only way that brings true success. Amen. Number three. I'm watching the time. Alright, number three. Find your evidence. Alright, so number one was what?
Identify
the problem. Number two? Make a quality decision. Number three, after you've made that decision now you've got to find your evidence. What did David do? Verse 36 says, he found his evidence. He said, no. The God who helped me to kill. How many people do you hear stand up and testify, I killed a lion or I killed a bear? No, most people run from a lion and run from a bear. You know, especially if you haven't got any weapons. And he was a shepherd boy. He didn't have no weapons. But David, from his experience, he said, no. The God who helped me. You see, it's always God. It's always God. And God is always with you. I want to underline that, church. You're going through stuff, personal stuff, sometimes maybe even embarrassing to talk about. Pastor David's been there. But you always got to remember that God is with you. Amen. Come on, get loud. Amen. God is with you.
Amen.
Seal it, man, with that amen. God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. David looked back and said, no. The God who was with me has helped me to kill the lion and the bear. This is when he went after one of the sheep that was taken in his mouth. And David went on to say, no. And I took that animal from its mouth. You don't often hear that happening. But God helped David to do that. And he said, the same God who helped me will help me with this uncircumcised Philistine. He's not even a part of the army of God. And he's just coming against the armies of God to defy the armies of God. Does he know what he's saying? This is David's thoughts. So David said, no. I look back and I found the evidence. Church, you've got to look back, and what you've got to do is you've got to find the evidence. Not only you're going through stuff now, but remember what God did for you before. Come on. It's not the first giant you're facing. Remember when you faced giants before. Right? Remember when they criticized you and said that you'll never get that promotion and God gave it to you. You remember? And you go right into that position again to get promotion again. And now they're looking and they're saying, how come you're being promoted and you just got promotion the other day? No. It's because God is on your side. Ha. God will shift things for your favor because he loves you. I read that this morning. He's a beautiful, wonderful, loving God who loves you so much. But stop trying to fix it and do it your way. It won't work. It does not work. God wants you to do it his way. Find your evidence. Go to the word of God. And then come back to him and say, Lord, you said in your word. As a matter of fact, Lord, you said in your word that I should bring my strong reasons to you, Lord. You said, ask, O God, and it will be given. Seek and will find. Knock and heaven's doors will be open. You said, Lord, no good thing will you withhold from those who love you and are called according to your purpose. You said, Lord, I am the Lord thy God who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Lord, I've got the evidence. Then when you find the evidence and you go to the righteous judge will act on that word if you bring it to him in faith. And he will bring about the desires of your heart. I'm telling you, church, God is a good God, but he's looking. We don't switch on Sundays, and then when we come from this place on Monday morning, you know, we had Monday morning blues. Where does that come from anyway? No believer should have Monday morning blues. Don't get me wrong. Let me say this immediately. Do not get me wrong. Christians can sometimes be depressed. Don't get that wrong. Christians can be depressed. But if you're in a place of depression, praise God, you don't need to stay there. And that's the good news. You don't need to stay there. God doesn't want you there. It's not coming from God for you. You just got to get your mind fixed on him. And that's why the Bible says he will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. So no matter you come against me, Goliath, my mind is on God, and I'm going to have perfect peace. You may be big, you may be tall, you may have experience, but I know my God that I serve. And in Jesus' name, you're coming down.
Amen.
Oh, come on. You're coming down in Jesus' name. Your Goliaths are coming down in Jesus' name. Your Goliaths are coming down this year in Jesus' name. I don't care how big they are, how tall they look. I don't care how they dress up themselves to look. I don't care how intimidating they may look and how challenging they are. Nothing can come between you and your God and succeed unless you allow it. Because God is already ordained, and we've heard it before, victory for our lives. Let's look at another one. Step four. So let's revise. Step one. What's step one?
Identify
the problem. Say it out loud. Identify the problem. Say it with me. Identify the problem. Step two. Make a quality decision. Step three. Find your evidence. Now step four is you've got to hear. And we put it up here twice. Hear. Hear. Let me read verse 37 in 1 Samuel 17. Verse 37. Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go and the Lord be with you." Now, there's quite a few scriptures there's a few scriptures I'm going to flash up that talks about hearing, because hearing is more than receptive through the ear gate. And you're going to see that in a minute. There's going to be at least three different places in the scripture where this word is used with different meanings. Okay? It's more than just receptive through the ear gate. So let's have a look at some scriptures. I hope this is the place. I think it is. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let me pause here. How does faith come? Okay, now, that hearing is receptiveness through your physical ears. Okay? Faith comes by, that's why I encourage you, and that's why the Bible encourages you more than me. The Bible encourages you to speak. To talk out, you need to hear yourself declaring what God has declared. Because when you hear it, it goes into your spirit, right down into your spirit, and then there's a connection made. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We get up every day and we listen to different things. And some people get up and they go to bed with the news. I don't like that. I don't like to go to bed listening to the news. The news must never be the last thing that goes in my ear gate, because I'm guessing that you know this by now. What you receive through your eyes and through your ears, it stays in your spirit. And sometimes we can even dream certain things And the things that we're dreaming is because of what you was watching. Anybody ever watch a ghost movie? I mean, years ago, I know you don't watch them now, but you know, I used to have problems sleeping, man, when I was young. And I still do actually sleep with the covers over my head, not because of fear, but it's a habit of mine that I've had from a young boy. And, you know, I'm not scared of anything, I'm not scared of nothing, I'll go out in the dark, you know, anywhere, anytime, by myself. I'm not fearful because I know I'm not by myself. I say by myself, but I'm never alone. God is always with me. So I'm not fearful in that sense. You know, but what I'm saying here is that faith comes by hearing, and faith is what you need to conquer your Goliath. If David didn't have faith, then he wouldn't believe that Goliath would be conquered. David declared, I don't want to jump ahead of myself, he declared the end before the end happened. And you'll see that. And that's what you've got to do. You've got to use faith now. And remember, if you can see it, smell it, taste it, touch it, hear it, it's not faith. Because faith doesn't operate in the sense realm. It doesn't. It's a spiritual tool that God has given you for success and for pleasing Him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. All right. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So hearing here is the act of hearing, the act of receiving through the ear gate. So, another one, Proverbs 4 and verse 10. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings. Hear and receive my sayings. Another verse, Matthew 11, verse 15. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And you see this repeated again with the seven churches in the book of Revelation and several places as well in the New Testament. And that word hear is to hear, to understand, to hear with the ear of the mind. So I'm being careful. I must be careful, if I'm reading this correctly then. I've got to be careful what I hear or allow to go into my mind. And what God is saying, that he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him receive what is being said into the mind. And hopefully that's good things that you're paying attention to and listening to. John chapter 9, 31. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Who does God hear? The person who does his will and is a worshiper. Are you following me? Have I got any worshippers in the house? Let me see your hand. Have I got anybody that's doing God's will? Let me see your hand again. Don't be lazy, Mark. Lift up your hand. If you're a worshiper, a true worshiper, by the way, Mark 4:24, and you're doing his will, hey, God hears you. Hears to the point where you will respond to him. And that's basically because you can't worship God unless you have a relationship with him. Worship is intimate. It's very intimate. Right? And if you are living your life doing his will and not just your own thing, forgetting about the things of God until next Sunday, you know, if you're doing his will, then these are evidences, if you like, or proofs that you actually have a relationship with God. And if you're in covenant with God, part of that covenant is God saying, hey, I will not only hear you, but I will also answer you. So what does that hears mean? Hear so as to perform. So you're not just receiving through the ear gate now, but you're saying, yes, Lord, this word, this truth, I will perform it. I will live it out in my life. All right. Number five, and I'll stop with this one. Number five, meditate on the word. Meditate on the word. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 39, it's very important that I was thinking about that this morning, just driving on the way to church. You know, these words came to me. I cannot walk with these. You know, King Saul tried to do was to put his armor on David. Everybody was scared to face Goliath. Here comes this little smooth-skinned shepherd's boy who's not even, a part of the army, has no experience in fighting, but he did have experience with the God that he served. And he put himself forward. And the Bible says that he said, I cannot walk with these. Because Saul gave him his armor, he gave him his sword, he gave him everything that was his. And he said, no, I can't walk with these. These are too big for me. These are too big. Then he said something. David said something very significant. He said that I cannot walk with these. I have not tested them. I have not tested them. Let me just pause here. Let me switch that around a little bit. God never uses anybody he doesn't test. Do you know something? You could be going for a test right now and not even realize it. And God could be testing you. Is she going to be faithful to my house? Are they going to be faithful to what I've told them to do, despite the Goliaths that are showing up? Are they going to be faithful to pray? Because sometimes when hardship comes and trials come, we can get distracted and our eyes can be fixed on something else. And then suddenly we forget what we're all about. And suddenly now we're somewhere else in a different zone. And that's how cunning the enemy is. Like I said before, I preached for 2 weeks on the excuses of Moses. And we've got to make sure, Lord, I do not want to excuse myself from doing your will. Lord, I do not want to not do your will and make this thing the reason why I can't. Lord, I can't serve you because of this. Lord, I can't pray because I can't go to the Bible study because of this. Lord, I can't activate my hands and my feet in ministry because of this. And this could be real, could be a Goliath, could be something large in your life. But again, I want to remind you, you have a big God in your life. A God who loves you, a God who cares for you, a God who says, I am with you, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. A God who says that with me all things are possible. A God who says, I want you to put your trust in me. Don't look at what is and how it looks. Put your trust in me. The psalmist said in Psalm 121, verse 1, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. God wants you to make him your resting place. Lift up your eyes and look to him. I can't imagine David standing up before Goliath, this big 9'9" guy. 9'9". And David said, I can't meditate on these. I can't walk with what you've given me, Saul. In other words, Saul, I can't walk with your anointing. No, I'm going to have to just trust God. Saul, what you're giving me is all in the flesh and it's all good, but it's not for me. That's not what God wants from me. God has something. He wants me to rely on something. I can't rely on stuff that you are giving me, Saul. I know you have my best interest at heart, but I've got a God on my side that has my best interest at heart, and that will also already given me victory. He's given me victory before, he'll give me victory again. I'm going to rely on him, and I'm going to depend upon him. And that's how we've got to be in the face of your Goliath that's coming in the world today. I mean, look at the world and look what's happening in the world, church. I don't need to tell you, but just look and see what's happening in the world. And if ever before, we need to meditate on the word of God. It's a time like now. What does it mean to meditate? Two forms of meditation. Muttering and musing. When you mutter something, you are saying it under your breath. And you're repeating it over and over again. And that should be the word of God coming from our spirit in that situation. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are coming down. In the name of Jesus, I am victorious, Goliath. In the name of Jesus, I don't know how God's going to do it, but he's going to do it. My faith is in him, and I'm releasing God's word now against you, Goliath, whatever the Goliath may be. And in Jesus' name, things will change. And you come out of that decreeing and declaring, it is well in Jesus' name. Amen. It is well. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it is well. It may not look like it, it may not smell like it, it may not seem like it's well, but it is well. Because all things work together for good. Romans 8:28. To those who love the Lord, do you love the Lord? Are you called according to his purpose? Then no matter what you are going through, everything is working together for your good. The psalmist David, talking about David, it's the same David here, said that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they bring me comfort. And so we've got to meditate on God's word. So when you are meditating, you are muttering and you're musing. Muttering, playing under your breath. What does musing mean? Musing means you are playing with the words. You could say in different tones. You could sing it. You are playing with those words. And that's how you bring joy and delight to your heart, even in the midst of trouble. You're musing, you're playing with the word of God. And that's what David did, I believe, many a times. That's why, you know, the most of the book of Psalms, most of it he wrote. And as you know, Psalms are songs. And he wrote these because it came from his heart. And he mused with those words. And he said, I can't walk with your anointing. I've got to walk with what God has given me. So let's look at what? Joshua 1, verse 6. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Why? Because that's how you are going to have good success. In Jesus' name. Question, are you meditating on God's word? Please don't see it as a religious chore. Please don't see it as something religious to do. It's much more than that. God's word is what brings victory. God's word is what brings delight. God's word is what brings comfort. So no matter how or what or how big your Goliaths are, you need to meditate on the word of God. Can I get a loud amen?
Amen.
We need to meditate on God's word. You can't do it by yourself. The arm of flesh will fail. But thank God for Jesus. And thank God for what he has done. Bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm going to stop right here. Everybody, just bow your heads and close your eyes right now. I don't know what you're going through personally. And I know that, as I said before, every single one of us, we have our challenges. We got stuff going on. But I want to tell you that there's something else going on that is bigger than what you have going on in your life. And my prayer today is simply this, you know, that you will involve him, that you will have God going on in your life. And church, if you find yourself in a situation where you can't really, truly, honestly say that from the depths of your heart, then, you know, you need to make some change somewhere because God is there and he wants to help. But you can't fight Goliath by yourself. You can't. Don't let, at the same time, your Goliath intimidate you. Make you feel small, make you feel insignificant, make you feel worthless. Don't let people who come against you because you are doing what is right prevail in your life. Let God's word prevail in your life. And I want to tell you that whatever situation you're going through, God is able to change it around in Jesus' name. He's able to do that. I sense that there's somebody here who's going through something. Maybe that something is just recent as this morning. And I just, God is with you, and God loves you, and he wants to help. And he wants to change your countenance this morning. And wants you to experience a deeper reality of the joy of the Lord in your life. Is there anyone here who said, Pastor David, in your closing, just could you pray for me, please? Just slip your hand up. I just want to pray for you before I leave here this morning before I come and take my seat. Is there anybody here who said, Pastor David, pray for me because, you know, I've got Goliath and I'm facing them and I need your prayer to help me. Thank you. Thank you. Put those hands down. Anybody else say, you know, I just feel I need something more than what I've got in my life. It's well, but there's something that's missing. There's something that's missing. And I really want that significance. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Just say, Pastor David, I want you to pray for me as I close this morning. You know, the Bible says, let me just say this, and I'm not going to drag this out. But the Bible says, if you hear his word, don't harden your heart. That's the last thing you want to do. Harden your heart so that now the word can't come in, the word can't penetrate. That's the last thing you would really want to do. But God is able this morning. Last time, is there anyone else who said, Pastor David, please pray for me? In your closing prayer. Because I want to conquer these Goliaths, but I can't do it in my strength alone. Just slip your hand up and put it down, and I'll just close. Father, thank you for those hands that have been raised. Thank you, Lord God, for your word. And Lord, we just want to thank you for your servants, Lord, that have served so faithfully, Lord God. We look at the life of David like many others, Lord. And we looked at Moses for the past couple of weeks, Father. We saw all the weaknesses, Lord God, and everything that he went through, Father, the challenges that he had. But Lord God, we also see that, Lord God, your purposes were worked out in the end, Father. We see that in the life of Joseph, Lord, where he went through a lot, even being in prison innocently. But your purposes, Lord, spoke in the end. Father, we see David here, and what I love about this story, Father, is that several times it was mentioned, oh God, in 1 Samuel 17 and 18, that David did what was right. David did not disrespect Saul. David did not dishonor Saul. David did not say or do anything against him. And everybody saw it, including Saul. And Father, we pray that your integrity, Father, that's in our hearts, that it will remain and that we will keep it close to us, Father. That, Lord, our eyes will be fixed upon you no matter what the circumstance, Lord. I lift up those who have raised their hands today, Father. They've indicated that they need you on a particular level, or they need to make some changes in their life, or they're facing some Goliath in their lives, Lord God, that it's they're finding it perhaps difficult to overcome. But Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that you are with us, and that you are in our hearts, Lord. And that, Father, your word says the steps of a righteous man, a righteous woman, are ordered by the Lord. So, Father, I pray that you will order their steps this morning. And let them know at the same time, Father, that, Lord God, you are with them. That they are more than a conqueror. That they are victorious, Lord. That, Lord God, no matter how big our Goliath seem, Father, they will be beheaded in Jesus' name. And, Father, you will get the glory and you will get the praise. Strengthen those, Lord God, that need strengthening, we pray. Encourage those that need encouraging, Father, today, we pray. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the honor and all the glory for all that you have done. And for Father, for what you are going to do even now, we give you praise today, Father, and we give you all the glory. And God's people say,
amen.
Can we stand on our feet? Let's stand on our feet for a few moments. Come on, let's stand on our feet. Can we just raise our hands and say, Father, if you can, if you can't, that's fine. Just raise your hand and just talk to God for a few moments. Just give him praise. Say, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that no matter what Goliath I'm facing, Lord God, I am more than a conqueror. Father, thank you, Lord God, that the difficulties may even be embarrassing, but Father, thank you that you specialize in making a way out of no way. Thank you, Lord, that sometimes it's just my praise, Lord God, that will cause these things to go. Father, we lift you up and we bless you today, and we give you all the honor and all the glory for who you are, Father, for what you have done, and for what you are doing in our lives. Thank you, Lord God, that you are bringing about change in our lives, Lord God. And Father, we say today, Lord God, that we decree, Father, that our teeth will be gritted and our feet firmly placed on your word. And Father, our eyes are fixed upon you. And we will do, oh God, what you have called us to do. Father, we will remain constant in a changing world. We will remain the same, oh God, serving you, loving you, oh God, declaring your goodness, Lord, in the midst of a perverse world that doesn't even want anything to do with you. But Father, we want to say today that we love you and we thank you for loving us. We will honor you, Lord, and we thank you that your honor is placed upon us too. And we give you all the praise this morning for what you are doing even now, Father, in our midst, in our lives, Father, in our homes, in our church, in our ministries, Lord, Father, in our work situation, in our businesses, Lord. Father, thank you for the change that's coming about even in our minds, Lord God. And we're careful to lift you up and to give you praise today for who you are, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.